Everyone, welcome to More Than Beasties, guys. We're going to go over a couple of new releases that happened today. It's going to be Void Rivals and, of course, Transform from Skybound. So, since the interlock, it'd be kind of nice to get this out. Just came out, dropped today. So, I'm here with Boo, of course, with
Hello.
XLUnderground.com. And we want to get this ball rolling while everything's still fresh.
We're doing Void Rivals number 17 and Transformers 18.
Yes. And the reason, well, everything here kind of really plays upon the other one, so it's really important. Whereas I guess Transformers is kind of its own insulated story at the moment. This is giving more, I guess, that more universe wide fleshing out.
Oh yeah, we get all the outer space stuff going on in Void Rivals.
Yep. Just with all the fun outer space season three Transformers from the Sumbo show.
Oh yeah.
So perfect. Well, mostly that and some, well, we'll get into that. So yeah, well, first of all, of course, we all know this is Robert Kirkman, The Walking Dead's book. And it starts out, we have Asola's looking over at Zerda, the namesake of her people. And we're going to get into this like whole backstory of how she came to be here and what everything means, I guess.
Yeah, she finally meets her face to face, literally.
Yeah, you don't get much closer to a face than that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool, the looking at the crystal that Sola has, it very much emulates Zerda's kind of look. But so we find out where she came from, who she is, where her origins lie, which is really neat.
Yeah,
Of
because when
course,
she meets Zerda is a big transformer.
yeah,
Yeah.
most of one, anyways.
Yeah.
And the yeah, it kind of goes back real quickly and gives us a really quick and dirty history of the origins on Cybertron. And this is Cybertron, though. We get a bit of I guess we get a bit of a story of how it was treated in season three, the Sumbo show, where they're slaves created to work for the Quintessons.
Yeah, it's heavy, Five Faces of Darkness.
Very much so.
And well, the image of Cybertron is straight out of the Sunbow cartoon.
Is it now? Well, I mean, it
Yeah.
looks like it, so yeah.
Yeah, it's got a lot of the same structures and everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, you see a young A3.
And we find out who Zerda Tryon originally was.
Going by the name Beta.
Beta, yeah. Do you remember Beta from season three?
I do not at all. It's
Ah,
been a
okay. I noticed it because you don't seem that excited about it. But yeah, Beta was a big player in Forever's a Long Time Coming.
I do, well, I do remember her in a way. I just don't remember a lot. They make the relationship between the two of them a lot more than it was. And
Yeah, well, she was the one that was looking for A3 when the Quintessons plucked him into the future. Yeah, so she was like his second in command. Yeah, so that's when they had help from Blur and Rengar and Steeljaw, and had to get the Coda remote to shut down the Dark Guardians.
And it shows that that the A3, as you saw in the past and for a very long time coming, with the that little I guess Smokey and the Bandit mustache.
Right. Yeah, so he's definitely got his, well, this isn't really so much A3. He looks more like the younger Alpha Trion,
Yeah,
the way
that's
they've drawn him here, like from War Dawn.
yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's didn't they refer to him as A3 in that, though?
He was in War Dawn, he was Alpha Trion. So there's like three stages. You have A3, then you have the young Alpha Trion, then you have the old Alpha Trion.
Okay, I'll have to go back and rehash on that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, so that they've got his ward on, like I said, porn stash.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of the Quintessons developing them as a slave race. They're the Quintessons are essentially the Ferengi of Transformers world, except a lot more
And
cool.
well, they kind of leave it open though to play with it, because it says Cybertron was under the thrall of the vile Quintesson, so they could also play with the idea that the Quintessons weren't necessarily the creators,
That's true. Where
like they've
they
done in
just
other continuities.
they were just yeah. I guess that's a good point to put it. I guess
Yeah.
species fueled by hate and the this area where this time of the place during the during when Cybertronica was controlled, as well as a lot of the quadrants controlled by the Quintessons, was called the Age of Wrath. So that's kind of neat to have that age put in there. Is that
Yeah.
is it something that's been mentioned in any of the other media?
Oh yeah, it was originally mentioned in Dreamwave, and then
Okay.
I believe they mentioned it in IDW as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It seemed familiar, but I really couldn't place it. So that's probably
Yeah.
what I probably heard it referenced to at least. And yeah, so it kind of goes on in showing that over all this stuff that happened, it changed them. They grew up. They became better, I guess, fighters, generals. And here's where you see her in like more rogue kind of garb, and him with his full facial hair. Let's say that.
Yeah, he looks like the Alpha Trion you see in season two.
Yeah, even
And she's Zerda at this point. She's not Beta anymore.
And you even see down at the on the bottom panel of this page where there you have Ariel and Orion Pax.
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
kind
and I mean, they're fighting Sharkticons in the panel
of
before, so you actually have Sharkticons popping up at this point.
And but then we have this mention of something they created named Galliant.
Yeah, is it Goliant?
Galliant?
It's like Ungoliant from Lord of the Rings.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Okay. He kind of looks like a shadowy technical Batman in space.
Titan
But yeah, and
class
the
Batman. Yeah, I can totally
yeah.
see.
But they created him on their planet of Quintessa. That's definitely Quintessa from season three.
Yeah. Yeah, you see a very with the wavy rings and
Yeah,
stuff.
I always like the
Yeah.
look of the planet.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was their final resort and their greatest creation. And it very much has I call it like Primus Unicron or even like kind of celestial vibes. Like
Yeah.
it's a celestial level being. If you want to go to Marvel stuff. Yeah, so it was coming towards the planet, and the only thing that they knew what to do, I mean his arrival is imminent. Zerda gets into a ship and tries to lead Galliant away.
Yeah, and wants to lead him away from Cybertron.
Which leads into a son, unfortunately the son of the these people, the are was that Argonians and Zirtonians?
Yeah, Gorians and Zirtonians.
Yeah. So that's their original son. So they're like, well, she goes, I didn't really have a choice. So she essentially inspires them to create the Great Ring and the boat in two halves. So that the Great Ring comes together and as it's created and as it surrounds the sun that Galliant's feeding on, it turns into a black hole. Yeah, it breaks down the star as we know, and when they die, they can turn into different things. Black holes. You can have neutron stars. All kinds of different things. But the way this one was brought down by Galliant, so I guess voraciously
Yeah.
as he fed on it, and
Yeah, it
turned it,
collapses. It's a
yeah,
trap for him,
yeah,
basically.
and the yeah. So the great ring that they put around it is a way to trap him in there. And they use the energy that is put off by the black hole that was brought by the collapsing star that he brought on as their energy source. It creates energon like continuously. Kind of reminds me of the explanation of Megatron's fusion cannon.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, drawing power from a black hole.
Yeah, tapping interdimensionally into a black hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said at that point she clouded his mind and made it so that dividing his essence into separate beings, separate races.
So yeah,
So
basically the Gorians and the
Zirtonians.
Zirtonians, yeah, they have like an essence of Goliant in them.
Yeah, that's almost feels What I'm trying to think, place the story. Well, it's almost like a, well, it is a biblical story. The idea of the descendants of Cain. You know, the idea that actually no, it's
Are you talking about the Nephilim?
Nephilim. Sorry, yes. I'm
Yeah.
trying to think of a good way to put this because I did not research this and rehash it for myself. But yeah, it's
Oh,
essentially
it was
they're.
where the fallen angels came down and interbred with humanity
Yeah,
and
so you
created the
have what
Nephilim.
essentially is a giant demon thing,
Yeah.
and it's given birth to a to two races. In a way, kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Well, with help from Zerda
Yeah, and you know it was a way to like I guess dissipate his energy.
Trion.
And you have these two races, you know, growing up, almost they're not really independent of each other, but they are because they kind of heal themselves. And so,
One has
yeah.
a closer affinity to Zerda than the other, the
Yeah.
Zertonians.
Yeah. And yeah, so you have the black hole, though, is starting to get to the point where it's drained him so much, though, that they're going to have to figure out the next stage, which she says is unity. To be able
Right.
to, you know, to destroy the weakened Gallant.
Well, when they unite, it'll wake him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll awaken. And Zerda wants to do it when he's at his weakest point, because then they can strike him. And their whole society's been built to keep unity from happening, so it didn't wake him up. So
Yeah.
they're having to overcome those cultural taboos now. And that's this is the end arc for this whole story, because it started with the unity of Derek and Salila.
Yeah. So yeah, that's because of their almost their accidental unity. Yeah, this is the result of it. He's kind of waking up. Everything's kind of going in motion. And so now we have him. You know, there's actually a really cool shot of the arm of Gallant sticking out of the black hole as he's about to be his like weakest point. But yeah, you go back and you know having the or having this kind of conversation with Zerda in this you know in this place where she was so beat up that she just stayed right there where she was and hid.
Yeah, she was injured from the initial confrontation with Goliant,
And
and
I'll say she was injured.
yeah, she sought refuge deep within the sacred ring,
Which
and
makes a lot
she
of
has no
sense.
legs. Her legs are gone. Yeah.
And that you know makes a lot of sense. So the like I said, Salila's people felt more affinity, and you can see the definite influence. And she, of course, was influenced Salila. But now, you know, she has like basically like I need you to do something really important. I need you to complete that unity.
Yeah, and you find out like the base, I guess, species that the Gorians and the Zirtonians came from was actually they lived on the planet that was orbiting the star that
Yeah.
Goliant fed on. So Zerda, I guess, took some of the survivors from that catastrophe and made, these two races with them.
Yeah. It's a little messed up. It was it's her fault.
Yeah.
So, but right away we get back to seeing the other side here. And
And one thing that the art in this issue seems like it taking a step up.
oh yeah, that
I'm
especially the
seeing like,
eyes.
yeah, the eyes. I'm seeing a lot more the color play. Yeah. The detail level of detail looks like it's stepped up too.
And you know he's back in front of his father, the king,
Oh yeah, Derek.
Derek. Yeah, and sorry, and he's over here trying to explain to his father what's going on, and his father's like, you know, you look, I've heard of these weird sects of people. These are unifiers, and like some naive group that seek to bring about the catastrophe by unifying our people.
Oh yeah, and he knows about Goliant.
Oh yeah, he
He
does,
must
and
be contained, and that's what
he.
their leaders, you've seen in previous issues, how they're in communication. You're like, what is this big conspiracy? Yeah.
So then they know what's going on, and he says unity must be prevented at all costs. The thing is, they don't realize it at the point where Gallant's at, and I mean, really, no one did until Zerda, you know, came across, I guess passing all of this information.
Well, they're still working on the old directive, And Salida's been given the new directive.
Yeah. Now, see how that's accepted. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, he's threatening to kill his son over what's going on here. And it's like, look, is that really, what we're going to do here? Are you really going to kill me? And his dad's like, look, I've done everything I could to help and get you away from this idea, to steer you clear. And yeah, it's kind of, it's one of these things where you feel like his the the his, their parents are doing this for the right reasons, as far as they know.
Right, that's what they've been told to do from the beginning. They just don't realize that things are changing now.
So, he wants to speak to his dad privately, like, look, I need you to, can you please tell me what's going on? I mean, since you're not going to kill me, obviously we've already, done it. Do you think you can, possibly, explain to me what's going on? Just you and I. So, Gene gets his people out of the room so he can start explaining to him the truth. And like, he has this very pointed thing. He's like, look, before we begin, you need to understand that everything I think say is the truth. And it is a truth that ends us all. It is not to be doubted ever. And honestly, he's not wrong.
Binds us all.
Oh, binds God, binds us all. Oh, God, yes, sorry.
Yeah.
Binds us all. It's not to be doubted ever. So, anyways.
So yeah, that's the second, I guess, plot subplot. So we hit the third now. There's a lot going on in this comic.
Well, it's Hot Rod and Springer hanging out, and like, Springer's trying to get them, develop an Energon well for them. And he's like, look, I didn't really need to do that much. It was pretty nice. And Hot Rod's like, yeah, it's a really boring place, which is, it's never a good thing to say.
Oh,
As
yeah.
soon as you say something's boring, it's gonna go badly for you. And Springer's like, hey, look, dude, I spent, 1,000 years in the wasteland. This is fantastic, trust me.
Oh, yeah. He made a reference to visionaries here. This is a Prismosian wedding by comparison.
I was wondering about that. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a reference to visionaries. So we may be seeing more of those Sunbow
Well,
properties showing up.
this is definitely a turning point in the story, because everybody's in here.
Oh yeah.
You have your Cobra La ship showing up, which essentially is like a Portuguese man of war in space.
Yeah, and they're trailing Quintesson, so.
Yep. And the Quintessons don't really seem to care about him. They're just like, they're going so fast past him, like, oh well, I guess we don't register is important enough for them to stop.
Yeah.
And
Well, the Quintessons have a mission. They're on a trail.
but that's where she took a little offense to this. And we're gonna pursue them. We're gonna find. They're gonna, we're gonna for Globulus's glory, we're gonna follow it.
Oh yeah,
So,
she doesn't want to be a scaredy cat. She's gonna go
no.
after him.
Well, she doesn't want to be scaredy cat. She also wants to actually, show up and be important in this, because like, they're on a quest. They're on a mission. They are directly following this mission, and she's like, "Hey, we're not important enough. No, let's go." Yeah, it's a huge ship. They're in their little, I guess, Corbala scout ship thing that they're flying around in.
Yeah.
So everyone's kind of converging together. So something big's about to happen. There's one of those story buildups. All of the rebels are showing up at Jabba's palace. And then we have this other plot line going on.
Oh yeah, we have Proximus.
So I do not remember the kid here.
Oh yeah, he picked him up a few issues back.
Okay, maybe I just
Yeah.
I read through it and I haven't gone back and reread it. So yeah, he's showing up and Proximus is there, and he's beaten everyone soundly, without much effort. He's like, hey, look, y'all try so hard. I'll do my best not to kill anybody here. But you're not gonna be
Yeah.
able to get out.
And he's kind of got an unofficial squire
Well,
with
that's what he essentially is.
yeah.
I love it. The kid's like, neat. I'll endeavor to leave you all living if I can. You're only doing your duty. And he's just down there. That, neat. It's like the most low key, this kid is not impressed. He's just like, oh, that's kind of cool, I guess. His name's Ultim.
Ultim, yeah. Well, he's just trying to stay out of the way because he's little.
Yeah, he's like Ultim, he's just gonna watch. He's like, no, sorry, sir. Look, I'm not really a good fighter. I'm pretty much better at hiding, so I'm gonna stay over here.
I'm gonna let you be the meat shield.
Essentially, yeah. And he's wondering why there's only three platoons that they're engaging at the Citadel. He's like, I don't understand it. He's like, well, Ultim's like, well, you're pretty scary, man. And yeah, he well, Proximus grabs one of these guys and says, where's Premier Zalok? And find out he's been missing for months. And that's when you see him with an axe standing on like what looks like an asteroid. And this the bottom picture in this. Look, I'm not saying this is what this is. Looks very much like Rapat.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
I know that's not what it is, but dude, the face. So yeah, the if he survives the caverns of Ral, he will be forever changed. A lord of Zerda's light, possibly even the first true chosen.
Yeah, he's down inside of a cave, and those are like eyes all looking at him.
Yeah. He looks like he's just like he's a barbarian kind of thing going on a quest. It's kind of what it
Oh,
looks like.
totally. Yeah, he's got a little bit of a Drax the Destroyer look to him.
He does, but it sounds like he's gonna become like a paladin of Zerda if he survives this. This is kind of what it makes it sound like. So, or leader of the people.
Right.
Maybe he'll help you lead the unification.
And that's where this leaves us now.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that was a lot going on that. So seeing that just leaves us there.
That's a big reveal to, I mean, because no one else has really touched on Beta
No.
since, forever is a long time coming. So it was really good to see them dive in and put her to work in here, because
Yeah, and I've been saving, of course, a lot of the season up, well, most of the season three stuff for when Ed wants to get through it with me.
yeah.
So I need to go back and watch that at some point just to refresh myself. It's been a while since I've seen Forever's a long time coming, but it is one of my favorite episodes. I don't know
Oh
how
yeah,
I've
back in the
forgotten it.
day when we would record all the episodes off
Yeah.
the TV,
Yeah.
that was like the hardest one for me to get because every time it aired, something went wrong. Like we had a thunderstorm that like knocked out the power, or the VCR just wouldn't record when we had it set. And that's when I think we recorded that one on Sci-Fi Channel when Sci-Fi was,
Okay. Yeah.
and we never got, I had to wait until the VHS came out. Yeah.
Beautiful. And now
Those
you can just watch on
very
YouTube.
over. Oh yeah, remember those really overpriced VHSs they had
Oh.
like at Suncoast?
Oh
Got
yeah.
two
What was that?
episodes. Yeah,
Was it the it was Kid Rhino, wasn't it? Or
was
was
it
it
Kid
that, it
Rhino?
wasn't FHE at that point.
No, it wasn't FHE. It may have been Kid Rhino, but man, I just thought it was crazy for two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I had gotten a couple of just because it was like I wanted certain episodes. And
Yeah.
then DVD sets came out and now they're all over YouTube.
I dove on that one because that was the only one I wasn't able to copy, even like from either the G2 episodes or from the Sci-Fi Channel episodes, or from
Yeah.
like really old VHS copies from the 80s.
It's neat because that was one of those episodes that really holds up super well. There's season three is like peaks and valleys, man.
Oh yeah, and well, in that one, that was some heavy, back lore
Oh yeah.
there. Yeah.
Which we always loved seeing that.
Yeah, so this was a nice surprise because I thought we were only getting Transformers this week, but
Surprise,
yeah,
surprise.
we got two comics this
Yes.
week.
Which it's pretty much heavy Transformers lore over
Oh
two
yeah.
comics. But I mean, even though Void Rivals is including all the other franchises, it's been pretty driven by Transformers.
Oh yeah, and well, I mean, and we're getting action figures for them at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Right. That's
Yeah,
right.
they got that exclusive with Salila, Derek, and Jetfire, so that'd be cool.
So, yeah, right on to Transformers number 18.
Yes.
Dude, this is a brutal issue. I know
Yeah.
you can say that about most of these issues. This one's a particularly heavy one.
Yeah, there's a lot of casualties in there.
Yeah. We're on Cybertron, and we have Blue Streak and Warpath along with Blur, who's hiding out trying to, basically survive against some onslaught of an attack. And there's like I want to say they're kind of mook Decepticons, except for I think that's supposed to be Catilla.
Or Carnivac, I think.
Carnivac. I bet you it's Carnivac, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
And Catilla's more yellow. Yeah, it's Carnivac. The wolf. He's coming out with as from a redo of the Titan Masters werewolf.
Oh yeah, well they've got a new Carnivac figure coming out. Like
That's
they
what I'm
just did
talking
the
about.
pre
It's
yeah.
a retooling of werewolf.
Oh yeah, the new one, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I realized how his legs were and stuff. So yeah, that makes sense that that's Carnivac there.
No pretender shell.
None. They don't do that. Yeah, so we have Carnivac and two mooks. Let's see.
Yeah, we have Bitstream and Hotlink,
Yeah.
who are two of the
And
guys from More Than Meets the Eye Part One.
it's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all three of the Autobots are beaten down pretty heavily. They're like, man, I don't want to get blown up again. Come on. And right when the Decepticons are coming up upon them, like Carnivac's like, let me just eat on this one for a while. You mind? And that's when we have the new, I guess this is like a conglomeration spark of all of Cliffjumper's tribe or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you could call it. I don't know.
Yeah, he was made from like the essences of their sparks.
Yeah. And out
Yeah.
of Carly's van. And
Right.
I saw this and I'm like, guard? No, I forgot about the van thing for last issue.
Yeah,
He comes over, knocks, Carnivac out.
he's Shredhead.
That's right, Shredhead. It
Yeah.
sounds like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles character.
He does.
Very much so. Or something they call Shredder. I don't know.
Right.
Anyways, yeah, so he mops the floor with all of them, kills Carnivac immediately, and then goes after the two seekers. Was it
Bitstream and Hotlink.
yeah, Bitstream and Hotlink. Just slices them in half,
Yeah,
bisects them both.
Bitstream loses arms like right away.
Yeah. And Blue Streak's like, what? It's like back primes his hand.
Right. Yeah,
And
and he
Lee's
cuts
like,
like Hotlink's in half, just
yeah.
like.
Hotlink's is the purple one. Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
purple one, yeah.
so Alita's like, yeah, I think we just turned the tide. I mean, come on. Shredhead's got like a freaking Voltron flaming sword, essentially.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Then we go back. There's a lot of jumping around these issues. We go back to the San Juan Islands where Ultra Magnus is hanging out and talking to RC, and there's Beachcomber with Carly and Spike. And just she's trying to talk to him about, like, you gotta. This is all done. All this, all these, all the, Shockwave is gone now. You don't have to worry about him anymore. And Ultra Magnus is like, everything looks so, bright. Like, he's looked at the sky and said, "This reminds me of early Cybertron. We could look at the sky so clearly." But yeah,
He's still dealing with his PTSD from being Shockwave's guinea pig
yeah, for how long? For hundreds of years.
or longer.
Or longer, yeah. And yeah, he's trying to explain it how his state of mind is, and she's trying to be understanding, and and Carly comes up and is like, look, Spike and I lost our dads, our home, everything I thought I knew about the world, it's all gone. But hey, you're a big metal man with guns, and you should be better than that. I'm just like a little squishy wannabe artist. And she's trying to make him say, like, look, you're not alone. We've all had a lot of loss. We've all gone through a lot of crap. But that's when the military shows up.
Right. And I mean, hyper vigilant Ultra Magnus, like, noticed him before anybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's trying not to be so jumpy, but he's on the edge. As soon as he hears something a crack or something on a stick, he pulls out his massive looking like G2 style gun
Right.
and just kills everything over there. All the
Yeah, that
people.
is definitely a G2 style gun.
Yeah. It's like he pulls it out. It looks like they pieced it together from like 20 different other guns and like welded it together and put tape on it. And RC's trying to say, like, hey, look, they're just humans. They don't know what they're doing. And like Beachcomber's trying to get Spike out of there because it's getting real bad real fast. And Carly is panicking a bit here, let's just say. She gets shot by, it looks like a dart.
Yeah, tranquilizer dart in the
Yeah.
neck.
And yeah, she Darcy's trying to protect her. And Ultramagnus is like, they just want to enslave us. His PTSD is cropping right up, and he's going to attribute that to a new enemy. And he's pulling a full, like, beating everyone, senseless, destroying helicopters, killing people like by the dozens. And
Oh yeah, he's shooting the soldiers and he's just making it worse for everybody.
And RC, like, she realizes what's going on. She's trying to stop him, and he's like, they're like, hey, look, enough of this. Let's just go. They said code red, so light him up. So they launch missiles at Magnus.
Oh yeah, well, at all of them really, they do like
Well,
a big
that's true. Right?
airstrike all the way through.
That's true. It's coming after RC and Beachcomber, I guess. But yeah, RC and Beachcomber are getting out of there.
Yeah.
She RC says she's got Carly, but yeah, she doesn't.
Yeah, the blast hits her and she drops her.
So, the soldiers come up. They grab Carly, pick her up, and they're going to interrogate her. It looks very much like a G.I. Joe logo on the sleeve. If you look at the sleeve on one panel, it's like a star with the stripes.
Yeah.
Kind of reminiscent of a G.I. Joe symbol patch or whatever. Maybe this is going to be part of that or something. Who knows? And
Yeah, because that's what they were made to be the, I guess, the answer to this new robot threat.
Yep, exactly. And they airlift Ultra Magnus out of there. So Carly and Ultra Magnus have been captured. So that's going to go well, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
And then we go to Seattle, where Track, not Tracks, jeez. Jazz and Wheeljack are trying to get the people out of there because Bruticus and Devastator are beating each other senseless, knocking over buildings, destroying half of Seattle. It's bad.
Yeah, they've gone full-blown Godzilla
Yeah, well, it
through
gets even more
Seattle.
so like that.
Yeah.
And you're like, Optimus Prime's trying to hold a building up so people can get out of there. I mean,
Yeah.
it's just bad everywhere. You got Trailbreaker has a his shield on. They're trying to protect anyone they can. And here's Starscream. He's just, blowing out anyone he can with riding through Acid Train, trying to shoot Devastator from the air. So, yeah, it's not going well for them. But here we
Yeah, and he's
have.
mouthing off to Devastator as he's shooting him out of Astro Train.
And Acid Train's just doing like little banking maneuvers and come back around so we can shoot him again. And Soundwave is not happy with this at all. He's not having it. And he pulls out Rumble, who he admits only has one arm, but that's all he really needs him for. So he throws Rumble at Acertrain, who just uses this as one pylon, busts Acertrain's wing off.
Oh yeah, he has got a Joker grin the whole way
Oh,
up.
yeah.
Yeah.
Rumble seems a little nuts. Not gonna lie.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, and Soundwave throws him. He does a fastball special.
Did you see the joke about Blue Rumble or Red Rumble?
Did I miss that?
Yeah, Starscream calls him purple.
Oh, that's
He
right.
says,
He
"Get
does. I
away, you
saw that.
purple brat."
I went over my head completely. And he knocks the wing off Acertrain. They all Acertrain and Starscream go down, and Starscream calls out the Bruticus. It's like Combaticons to me, and I want to know what's going on with them because they're like a fearless leader, and they start running, and Bruticus starts climbing up this building like Godzilla. That's Godzilla. I mean King Kong.
Yeah, he goes full King Kong on here.
And Devastator, not missing the opportunity, goes and likes to he wants to take care of this whole combiner thing once and for all.
Oh
So yeah.
yeah. Well, the Combaticons feel a lot of loyalty to Starscream after he helped them out before
Oh
and
yeah,
helped
but
Brawl.
that's a
Yeah.
lot of loyalty. Like that's full on fealty.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what they said. He actually took care of them before he took care of himself, so they feel
Yeah.
a lot of loyalty to him
That's
right now.
true. That's true. And yeah, so Starscream does a little like, kind of a saying, I guess, can I get one spark dams break? He's like, dude, can stuff stop happening for 5 seconds so I can actually, get my footing here? And that's that, Bruticus finds the top of the building where they're crashed, and that's when Devastator shows up and he's like, there can only be one combiner, grabs him by the head and pulls him down. And it's brutal. He's got him in a headlock going to the ground.
Yeah, it looks like. Is he doing like the Stone Cold Stunner on him?
He kind of is. He kind of doing the Stone Cold Stunner. That's a great way to put it. It's gonna hurt.
Oh yeah. That's gonna
Yep.
be a mess downstairs too when they
Yeah.
hit.
And that's exactly why Optimus Prime sees it. He's like, Prime, save us. And Bruticus is like, no. And Deathseer's behind him with a huge grin on his face now. He's like laughing as he hits the ground. Sir put a crater in the ground in the middle of Seattle.
Oh yeah. And this is gonna be like the reminder from was it Starscream's Brigade when
Yeah.
at the end you end up with a big crater with Bruticus in it.
Yeah. Good
Yeah,
point, actually.
but it was Minotaur in that one instead of
Yeah.
Devastator.
Oof. And yeah, Starscream's in disbelief. He's like, it can't be happening. And then that's when Soundwave sees him and because you're stupid, Starscream. And he essentially is like, look, you're using the Earth technology like a pathetic fool.
Yeah, because at this point, Starscream doesn't have legs. His lower half is a his tank.
Which, yeah, I kind of the cover of this shows him full with legs and stuff. I thought, man, did he get like legs in this issue? No, he didn't. They start going to a full-on knockdown drag-out fight, and then Starscream, screams like pathetic, pathetic, and headbutts him in the mouthpiece, and then rips off his the front of his cassette bay.
His chest.
Yep, pulls out. He says, at least I'm not the one obsessed with their tape collection. Pulls Ravage out.
Yeah, the inoperative Ravage,
Yeah.
who Starscream has repeatedly refused to repair.
Yep. That's when they everything kind of stops. It's like almost like a needle scratch, like Starscream, Soundwave. Enough. And like the blind mystic from across the desert, here comes shows up finally Megatron with his laser beak eyes. As we
Right.
saw like an issue or two back, he's Laserbeak has become his eyes.
Yeah, he's wired himself directly into Laserbeak.
Yep. So yeah, things are about to get real good or real bad.
Daddy's home.
Be silent. And he goes and picks up Ravage, and I'm kind of wondering what he's about to do. I think he's about to rip him in half the way he picks him up for a second. Nah, he gives him energy and like helps repair him.
Yeah, he opens up his chest, and basically, if you look, the energy comes from his spark chamber.
And he says, what a good soldier. What a good soldier you are, small thing, and what a faithful servant your father is. And that's when Soundwave bows down.
Oh, yeah, well, he's the one that sent Laserbeak out to find Megatron. He's like, we need him.
Yeah. And so we go back and Starscream's like, Ascertain, quickly get us out of here. And he just goes, no.
Yeah, because Astrotrain is big mad at Megatron. That was like
Yep.
part of the whole deal why he's following Starscream.
And this is gonna come into a big head in this next issue, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then we have Optimus Prime looking at the smoky ruins of Seattle, and just says Autobots retreat.
Oh, yeah. And well, if you look below, you see the shadows of Megatron and Laserbeak, and I guess that's, I don't know if that's Soundwave who's
No,
hit.
I
Oh
think
no,
that's
that's
supposed
it.
to be
That's
his
his gun
barrel.
barrel. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's his gun barrel. Yeah.
he's looking at the shadow of Megatron being back.
Yeah. Megatron with Laserbeak on his shoulder. Yeah, that's his gun barrel on the other side.
Yeah. So.
I was like, that doesn't look like any Decepticon I know on the other side. And you're right.
So,
It
yep.
absolutely is a gun barrel.
That is it. That is the issue. So not much happens here, as you can tell.
Yeah, I mean, so this is our spoilery review of today's comics.
Yeah. Number 17 of Void Rivals and number 18 of Transformers. And also there's a little advert in the back of this Invisible Universe Battle Beast.
Oh yeah.
So is that a reference to the Battle Beast, or is that just like his own little creation? I'm kind of
Yeah,
curious.
that's a character from Invincible.
Oh my God. Okay, it is
Yeah, he's
Invisible
voiced
Universe.
by
Never mind.
Michael Dorn on the show.
Yes, it's been a while. I need to watch season two of that.
Oh yeah, is it season 3's out now?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot to catch up on.
Yes.
Anyways, yeah, so that's a spoiler review. We can
And
get it out
speaking of
today, but
Invincible, back in Void Rivals, when Derek is talking to his father, that sounded a lot of like some Invincible Omni-Man conversation there. Oh, what are you gonna threaten me now? Threatening to kill me? You know, heard a lot of that.
yeah, it kind of did sound like that, but it was a little different stakes.
Oh yeah.
Omni
There's
Man, you
no
know.
listen, Mark meme coming out of this one. But yeah, if you're not into these series, yeah, I highly recommend them. They're
They're
great
all,
reads.
yeah, they're
Yeah.
all killer and no filler.
Yeah.
There's just
And
so much
today was a
happening.
real treat to get two of them on the same day.
Yeah, I had to jump on here and do this.
Right.
So, yeah, anyways, guys, thanks a lot for joining us. This is a little impromptu thing we threw together here at the last minute, so we want to make sure we got it out there. And it'll be up soon as I get it all edited tonight.
Yay.
Yay. All right, guys, y'all take it easy, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.